Was there ever, I wonder, a book like the Gospel of John, a book of such simplicity and depth at the same time, of such fathomless profundity, of such enormous impact on countless lives? And it's not a very big book, it's a large pamphlet really. You could read right through it in somewhere between 2 and 3 hours. And there it is, this marvellous meditative gospel. We read it quite a bit around Christmas and in the weeks following. On Christmas Day itself, of course, we have the great prologue to the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Logos, the Word, the speech. But speech does not exist without a hearer. In the beginning was the Word implies in the beginning was conversation. In the beginning, there is relationship and communication. And the gospel draws us, invites us to enter into communication with Jesus, and in communicating with him, to be drawn into the communication that there is between Jesus and his heavenly Father. This is the great theme of the gospel, an invitation to us to be, as the disciples were, drawn in to the intimacy of loving that the Father and the Son enjoy as they bear witness to one another and ceaselessly exchange their glory. And we beheld his glory, again in the prologue, as of the only begotten of the Father. That word glory is to become one of the great words that runs all the way through the gospel. This morning, we move a little bit on from the prologue. We're with John the Baptist to begin with, John's witness to Jesus. And we see John and Jesus in relationship, in communion, in communication. And we're taught the way to understand how they are, one in relation to the other. John's twist on the baptism is that in John, in John's Gospel, it's John the Baptist who hears the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved." It's John the Baptist who sees the dove. In the other Gospels, it's variously Jesus who sees it, or it's the bystanders who witness it. He's very characteristic. He does this all the time. He gives you something a bit different from what the other Gospel writers give you. He tells very few of the same stories. Actually, until we get to Palm Sunday and the entry into Jerusalem, the baptism is one of the very few incidents that's described in John and also in the other Gospels. One of the things that has perplexed and puzzled people is, does John not know all the stories that are in the other Gospels? Or does he just not tell them? I think the lack of overlap is so striking that it must be deliberate. He must know the stories, but he chooses not to tell them. He knows that we've got the others. He's telling his version of it, drawing out themes that the others don't catch hold of in the same sort of way. And after we've had John the Baptist, you see how John draws the first two disciples into relationship with Jesus. The conversation is growing. And so Andrew and another disciple whose name were not told, possibly the disciple that Jesus had a particular affection for, who's never named in St. John's Gospel, the one who leans on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. Perhaps it's him. We just don't know. But these two disciples are brought into relationship with Jesus, and then Andrew goes and he fetches his brother and says, "Come." And so the network, the linkages spread, and the web of incorporation into Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father begins to grow.